Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recording.
This is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Never say never, but never.
I plan on leading this team with an unwavering standard.
Everybody love everybody.
We will call it the golden standard. And this is the standard that will drive this football program to its 12th national championship.
With Sean Styers.
I like that guy. Hey,
what you could do is you could have a barbecue on that
head. It's a good time, you know what I mean?
On Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him.
And now your host, Sean Styers.
Sean on the road today with the women's basketball team. They'll be at Wake Forest tomorrow. So you get me for the next 90 minutes or so. I'm Jimmy Rosari, and this is Sports Radio, 960 AM WSBT, Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Plenty to get to today, 5:30. We'll have the lovely and talented Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com talking about the latest in Notre Dame football. Who's staying, who's going, who's declared for the draft, who's gone into the transfer portal, who's transferring in. Brian will let us in on all the latest details. Let's see. Also, Vince D'Addario going to be joining after 6 o'clock for Rapid Fire, so we'll have that. Probably get his thoughts on John Lester. I'm sure they'll be rosy as roses can get, quite honestly. Let's see. Plenty of college basketball action tonight. Of course, Notre Dame tipping off against Clemson. That game at Purcell Pavilion starting at 7 o'clock. We'll kick off pregame coverage at 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Man, this is kind of kicking off the best part of the college sports season, really. Like, even better than college football in some aspects. Not all. Definitely better than the playoff, I'll say that. By the way, the playoff not expanding. Still not going to expand. Those meetings over the weekend went nowhere down in Indianapolis. That bodes well for any kind of future expansion. Anyway, tons of college basketball, and it's been all over the place, too. No undefeated teams are left. Not one. Baylor lost. They lost last night to Texas Tech. Texas Tech, no slouch, by the way. Texas Tech coming in. Oh, let's see. Number 19 in the country? Yeah. They're going to be okay. Texas Tech, pretty good. That did snap Baylor's 21-game winning streak. Texas Tech beating them at home, by the way. But like I said, Red Raiders, they're very good. But Baylor did lead by 15 points in the first half and, you know, had won 22 straight home games by an average margin of more than 26 points. They were 11.5-point favorites yesterday. That's a huge upset. Did play their first game, though, Baylor did, without freshman Jeremy Sochan, who suffered a sprained left ankle in the team's previous game, averaging 8 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. But, you know, little things like that, I mean, that makes a difference. Baylor hadn't lost anywhere since March 12th, 2021, to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament semifinals. So, you know, defending champ right there. Still not really affecting their chances as far as Vegas sees it. They're still the fourth favorite at plus 1,100 to repeat as national championship, to repeat as the national champion, anyway. That at Caesars Sportsbook. Gonzaga plus 600, Duke plus 800, Purdue plus 900. Baylor's probably going to fall out of the top spot. Could have been Duke. But they were too busy losing to Miami over the weekend. Watching that game, I had that game along with the Notre Dame game kind of dueling at the same time as I was enjoying some wings on Saturday night. And yeah, I was like Like, nothing makes me happier than watching Duke lose at home. Because you get all of those little preppy idiot kids. Granted, academically pretty good, but, you know, they're idiots. You know what I mean. But watching them just lose and lose the way that they did to Miami, you know, kind of last second, missing the last second shot, and just watching the, you know, just kind of meander out of Cameron Indoor. That helps sustain me in the winter months. You get a day like today where it just looks like crap. Weather-wise, actually, not a terrible day. It just wasn't sunny at all. You didn't see any sunlight whatsoever. It's been, you know, it's been dark since 8:30 this morning. But things like that helps kind of sustain me through the winter months. Watching Duke lose at home, especially to a team like Miami, who came in unranked. Now, Miami, you know, not playing terrible ball in the ACC. Undefeated in the ACC so far. It's been real interesting. Like, Miami's almost kind of like Notre Dame in this aspect that they're kind of flying under the radar right now. People are starting to notice, but for the last month or so, they've been flying under the radar, and nobody's really picked up on the fact that these teams are both playing a lot better than they were earlier this season and a lot better than they played last year. You know, neither won a tournament team. That could change, though, this year. I think Notre Dame's going to need a little bit of help. They did get it, beating North Carolina, beating Kentucky, both at home. But losing to Boston College, like some of those early season losses, if the Irish don't have like a good ACC tournament, I'm not sure they make it in or not. I'm talking like making it out of the opening round, making it out of, you know, making it to at least the semifinal round. If they don't make it that far, I don't think they make the tournament this year. But they've been playing really well. They go for win number 6 in a row tonight. 6. The way things were looking earlier this season, I didn't think I'd say, you know, going for win, you know, consecutive win number 6. I never thought I'd be able to say that about this team. That's how bad things looked. And, you know, like, you know, the showing at the Maui Invitational sure didn't do anything to help things at all, but they've righted the ship. Blake Wesley, of course, a huge part of that. He was the ACC's Freshman of the Week again. That's his second time getting that honor this season. Mike Bray better do everything he can to get Blake Wesley to stay in school all 4 years. Because I got a feeling he's going to get some attention. He's going to get some pro attention here. Like, if he's not getting it already. Like, he's just been playing amazing, amazing basketball of late. I mean, you know, I'm looking at his number, you know, shooting good free throw. You know, he's on the boards. Gets, you know, like 2.5, 3 rebounds a game even. Gets 16 points a game. That leads the Irish. The freshman is leading the team in scoring. Not bad if you can get it, quite honestly. I mean, if you can get a freshman in here who can score like Blake Wesley has been able to. Inside, outside, you know, he wins that game against Kentucky. He wins that game against North Carolina. He's, you know, like I said, Freshman of the Week twice. Seriously, he's one of the next pro prospects out of Notre Dame. Should be fun to watch, too. Clemson coming in playing pretty well. They've won, what, five of their last six? So, yeah, that's going to be a real good game. Like I said, pregame going to be starting here, 6:30. Kicking us off. Kicking me off. Darn. Oh, no, I get to go watch the game at home. Oh, no. But 6:30 pregame start and the tip-off just a little bit after 7 right here on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Elsewhere in college basketball, some other games to kind of pay attention to. Four of them featuring at least one ranked team tonight. So plenty of betting opportunities throughout the evening. The only one with two ranked teams going up against each other is number 14 Villanova on the road against number 17 Xavier. Villanova entering as a 1-point favorite. One of the best games of the night. Number 12 LSU looking for their third in a row. They're on the road against the Gators down in Florida. Florida entering as a 3-point underdog in that game at home too. That's a tough place down in Florida to play, and LSU, you know, number 12, but Florida fans come out. Duke also on the road tonight, number 8. They fell from number 2 to number 8 after that loss to Miami. They're going to look to get back on track when they play Wake Forest as 5-point favorites. And then also number 10 Michigan State getting back to the floor, favored by 12 at home against Minnesota. So you got Villanova and Florida as 1-point favorites. Duke, a 4.5-point favorite. 4.5 to 5, depending on where you go. Michigan State is a 12 to 12.5-point favorite. Whew. How should I go here? I think I'm going to go with the over on that Duke game. That over, by the way, 151.5. It's going to be close, but 151.5. I think both Duke and Wake Forest go over that tonight. Duke is without Mike Krzyzewski tonight. He's got a non-COVID related virus. His associate head coach John Shire and his replacement, by the way, getting a little bit of a dress rehearsal for that. Not that he hasn't done it like before, but you know. Just kind of ironic that it's happening in Coach K's last year on the bench. John Shire going to serve as the acting coach for Duke for their game tonight. So Duke hosts NC State on Saturday. So that's their next couple of games. Wake Forest tonight, and then hosting NC State. So, but anyway, back to Duke tonight. Number 8 Duke at Wake Forest. I like the over on that game of 151.5. Minnesota and Michigan State. I like Michigan State on the spread there. 12 to 12.5. Villanova and Xavier. That's the one with, you know, 14 at 17. That game's on FS1, by the way. Probably the big game of the night, just because, you know, two top 25 teams facing off. As much as it pains me to say that, I like Xavier straight up. It's going to be close. I think that's going to be a really good game. I'm probably really underestimating Villanova too. Probably really underestimating. Screw it, Villanova straight up. I like the way Villanova plays defense. And then LSU taking on Florida down in the swamp of Florida, not of LSU. That game on ESPN2. Take the over on that. 137 is the point total between LSU and Florida. I think that seems a little low, doesn't it? So Vince is already starting to blow up my phone for rapid fire tonight. So Vince, save it. What he's blowing up my phone about, I'll let you know coming up a little bit after 6 o'clock. In a little bit, going to be checking in with Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. He's got all the latest on Notre Dame football. Comings, goings, coaching changes. As expected, Harry Hiestand's back in the fold. We all kind of knew that was happening. Who's taking over in other spots, though? Who's taking over wide receivers? Who's taking over special teams? We'll find out with all that stuff with Brian. Who's, you know, transferring in, transferring out, declaring for the draft. All that to come in just a few. Budweiser's weekday sports beat, by the way, brought to you by the fine folks at Budweiser, the king of beers, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Sports fans, this Bud's for you. Also by the Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Hunger is a story we can end. Find out how at feedindiana.org. The Mishawaka Education Foundation, granting a better way the Mishawaka way. Tim Growl State Farm Insurance. Save money on home and auto insurance with Tim, serving both Indiana and Michigan. Call 232-9981. Wings Etc. Grill and Pub with 14 Michiana area locations. Stop in today or order online at togo.wingsetc.com. Midland Engineering Company, beginning their second century of quality roofing experience. And by Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, serving our community while serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com joins me next. Budweiser's weekday sports beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Three Notre Dame soccer players getting selected in the MLS Super Draft. Jack Lynn going to Orlando City SC, Mohamed Omar going to the Colorado Rapids, Philip Quinton going to the Columbus Crew, all in the first round. Notre Dame head coach Chad Riley has now had 12 players selected in the MLS Super Draft that played under his direction during his time as head coach, so that is pretty cool. Plenty of players have gone into the NFL draft from the Notre Dame football side of things, and we've had a couple more declarations of that. Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com, the lovely and talented Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com, that is. Gotta get that out of the way so that the check's
it's
clear.
It's appreciated.
Yeah.
It's appreciated.
I do what I can. So speaking of guys declaring for the draft, get us up to date.
Well, as of right now, the only guy that has declared for the draft that was really a question mark was Kevin Austin, who is going to the pro. Obviously, we already knew about Kyron Williams and Kyle Hamilton, but right. Notre Dame's been on a pretty good string. We saw six-year senior Myron Tungvalu decide not to come back, but that was kind of expected. Isaiah Foskey has announced he will return for his senior season. Jarrett Patterson announced he will return for his fifth season, and both Justin and Jason Adamiola have returned, and also some fifth, six-year decisions were made. Joseph Wilkins and Avery Davis both announced they're planning on coming back next year. Bo Bauer also announced that he's going to be coming back next year. So the only player that I'm still unsure of, simply because there's been no public announcement, is cornerback Tariq Bracey and whether or not he'll be back for a fifth season.
All right. The guys coming back, is that more of just wanting to play more for Marcus Freeman as a head coach, or do they think they can increase their draft stock by coming back?
I think it's both. I think, honestly, normally in these instances, it has a lot more to do with the latter. I mean, as much as guys may love Coach Freeman, if Isaiah Foskey is going to be a top 15 pick in this upcoming draft, he's going pro. I mean, that's just and he would be probably advised by Marcus Freeman to go pro. Because at the end of the day, you know, when it comes down to these draft decisions, ultimately, this is the one time your decision should absolutely be about what's best for you. And you make that decision on what's best for you. So I think in most instances, it was ultimately about their draft stock. Having said that, Jim, I don't think I could sit here and say that playing for Coach Freeman wasn't part of the conversation. It's just it wasn't a situation where it's like, hey, I'm going to leave and I'm going to be a top pick, but, you know, maybe I want to play another year for Coach Freeman. I don't think it was quite that. Mm-hmm. I think it was, you know, hey, here's my two options. I think it'd be best for my future to go back, but also the more exciting part of it is I also get a chance to be part of Coach Freeman's first team. I do think that added some enticement to it, but I don't think it was that final decision maker for anybody. At least that's not what I haven't heard that yet from anybody.
All right. A guy who won't be coming back, another guy who won't be coming back anyway, Kurt Heinisch. That is a lot of production, a lot of leadership going out the door. How do they replace both of those aspects?
Well, you're not going to replace them with the same person, right? I mean, that's right. That's the thing is the leadership part.
That's a heavy load right there, quite honestly.
Exactly. I think the leadership aspect of it, to me, is going to have to be filled by guys like Jason Adamiola and Isaiah Foskey, the guys we were just talking about, you mm-hmm. know, because you not only lost Kurt Heinisch as a leader, you also lost Myron Tagovailoa-Mosa, and you're going to lose Drew White, and then you lost Kyle Hamilton. So you lost four captains off your defense. And you don't replace them with one guy. It's going to be a group effort. You're going to need to see, you know, Cam Hart kind of grow into a leadership role. You're going to need to see Jason Adamiola continue to do so. Isaiah Foskey's not really a vocal guy. He's going to be more of a, you know, lead by example kind of guy. You know, show up and do your job every day and make sure that you hold your teammates to that same standard. So I think those things are going to have to kind of come over time. You know, now if Bo Bauer steps into the starting role, perhaps he fills a leadership void. You know, but I really think it's going to come down to the guys that we mentioned really stepping up and setting the example by how they prepare in January and how they prepare, you know, in spring and how they go about their business and really saying, hey, here's the standard that Coach Freeman has set. I got to make sure that I live up to that first and foremost if I want anyone to follow me.
Coming back on the offensive side, Jarrett Patterson, that is huge for that offensive line, man.
It really is. I mean, speaking of anchoring from a leadership standpoint, you've got a guy coming back for what is this going to be his fourth year as a starter, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have you'd have had a really talented group regardless. Now you've got a talented group that's going to have that veteran player to kind of help ease that transition to the Coach Easton era. Because in a lot of ways, Jarrett Patterson serves as a bit of a bridge between Jeff Quinn and Harry Easton. And that may sound strange for me because he wasn't recruited by Harry Easton and he wasn't coached by Harry Easton. Mm-hmm. But why I say that is he played so much with guys that were recruited and coached by him. So, you know, Jarrett Patterson played with Liam Eikenberg and Robert Hainsey and Aaron Banks and Tommy Kramer. You know, guys that knew what the Harry Easton standard, because they played for him between, you know, for 1 to 2 years. They understood. They played with Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey for a year. You know, they know what the O-line U tradition was all about. And he kind of serves as the bridge, even though he's not a direct bridge to Coach Easton. You know, I think he kind of serves as a bridge of the young guys. Like, he knows the expectation. He's going to talk to his former teammates about what Coach Easton is like. And if your fifth-year senior captain, you know, potential All-American, potential high draft pick, is willing to take the coaching and take the hard coaching and take the butt chewings and take those kind of things, then your young guys are going to be more willing to take that and learn from Coach Easton, because it's going to be about, hey, listen to what he's saying, not how he's saying it. And that was something you hear a lot from Q or Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey and Robert Hainsey and those guys, was you can't, and Alex Bars, it's not about what Coach Easton said or how Coach Easton is saying it. It's about taking the instruction from it, because it's going to make you a better player.
Man, that's a great aspect. I hadn't really thought of that. That you know, just that bridging the gap thing and just how important that could be. That's such a great point.
Yeah, I mean, that's what veteran leadership is all about, right? Like, if Coach Easton or take any position, you know, if Mike Elson's jumping all over Isaiah Foskey about how to do things a certain way, or Jason Adamiola, and they take that instruction and apply it, then the younger players are going to follow suit, right? And if the veteran player's grumbling and, you know, you're getting mad at me, you know who I am, then guess what? Those younger guys aren't going to take that instruction. And so that's where leadership comes from, right? It's mm-hmm. about taking what the coach is telling you and trying to apply it. And if you have a problem with the way the coach is doing it, making sure that you address it the right way, which is just the two of you in a private meeting. And those are the examples that leadership is. Look, leadership is partly about, you know, what you say and being a locker room guy. But at the end of the day, leadership is first and foremost about setting a standard and then living up and showing the example of that standard. And that's what guys like Jarrett Patterson and Jason Adamiola and players like that need to do more than anything they say is, hey, if you want to work like a champ, this is how you do it. Follow me. And this is what Alex Barrs and Robert Hainsey and guys like that always said about Quentin Nelson. It wasn't anything that Quentin ever said to us, even though he held us to a standard. It was, we knew that Q was going to bring it that day. We knew that Q was going to give us everything we had in the film room and a weight room on the practice field. And we knew if we didn't live up to his standard of effort, that we were going to hear about it. It wasn't so much that they were afraid of him saying it. It was that if he's going to work that hard and he's as good as he is, that I better sure as heck work that hard. And that it was more about that than it was about anything else.
The lovely and talented Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com joining me on Budweiser Weekday Sports Beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Final AP poll, Notre Dame coming in eighth, which about right, quite honestly. The ESPN likes to put out, you know, their way too early polls, and Notre Dame ranking sixth in the top 25. Sound about right to you?
Yeah, I think so. I was actually surprised that they had Notre Dame that high. I was kind of expecting them to, you know, do the whole OG, they lose players and they're the only team that loses players kind of thing, which is tend to like what they do every year. But
right,
they were quite fair. I mean, last year they had them 15th, I think is where they had Notre Dame last year in the way too early poll. So I don't know. Maybe this is ESPN turning over new leaf now that there's a new coach and they want to give Marcus Freeman the benefit of the doubt. Who knows? But I thought it was fair. Look, there's going to be a lot of teams with a lot of question marks next year, and Notre Dame is no different. And the schedule's going to be tougher next year. You know, after 5-6 years of playing relatively soft schedules, it ramps up a little bit next year.
Right.
Ohio State and Clemson and BYU and USC now looks to be trending in a better direction. So I thought six was fair, but honestly, anywhere between 6 to 10, I would have felt was a fair ranking of Notre Dame. When you're talking about off-season decisions, when signing days aren't even done yet and transfer portal's not done yet, and you know, there's still guys that have NFL decisions to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is even too early for a too early, but you know, it is what it is. But I thought that was fair. I thought it was fair.
Not even just a way too early, but a way too early.
It's too early for your too earlies, right?
Right.
Let's let guys make their NFL decisions, right? Like, it comes up in 4 or 5 days. I mean, let's just at least wait for that first, you know, before we start doing it. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Nah, I got to get those clicks. Got to get the
exactly,
clicks, man.
Exactly. And we'll do a new one. We'll redo it when everybody decides. So then we can say, well, there's new information now, you know. So
right.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I guess being on that side, you probably would understand a hell of a lot better than I would.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Kind of roll your eyes like, okay, I understand, but I don't like it, but I understand.
Right, right. Coaching. There's some holes in the coaching staff that do need to be filled. And, you know, obviously offensive line, that got filled with Harry Hiestand. Wide receiver, another big hole on the offensive side of the ball as far as coaching goes. Who are they looking at? Who would you like to see in that spot? Who have they talked to, even, quite honestly?
Well, there have been really three names that have kind of been prominent through the whole process. One is Holman Wiggins from Alabama, which I don't think that one's going to happen. The other two are Jamarcus Shepherd of Purdue, who I believe interviewed yesterday, and then today we got word that Notre Dame was interviewing Chancey Stuckey, who was the receivers coach at Baylor last year. Yeah. That one was a little bit of a head scratcher because he played for John McNulty within the NFL, so I think there's that connection there. But you know, he's been a college football coach for a grand total of like 1 year. You know, he was a guy that played in the NFL for a while. He was something like a director of personnel at Clemson last year, and then he was a graduate assistant at Clemson in 2019. And so it's kind of like, you know, a guy at Alabama, a guy that's done a great job at Purdue, and then a guy that's, you know, kind of coached for 1 year. So I don't know if that's the direction they're going or not. I thought that it was going to be Jamarcus Shepherd. It sounds like, at least for now, there's another guy they want to know. I don't know what that ultimate decision is going to be. I think if they hired Jamarcus Shepherd, it would be just a grand slam home run hire from a coaching and recruiting standpoint. Mm-hmm. If it's a guy like Chancey Stuckey, it's a risk because you're hoping that a guy that's never really coached before, and, you know, Baylor's receivers did a nice job this year, but, you know, it's an offense that's not overly explosive, not overly pass-oriented, you know, and it would just be a little bit of a head-scratcher, to be completely honest with you. But I don't know who that's going to be. Hopefully they make as big of a splash at that position as they did at the offensive line and who we believe to be the special teams coach. And then after that, it's, okay, now it's time to go find you a defensive coordinator. So these are going to be the decisions that are going to define Marcus Freeman's early part of his tenure. And in some ways, if you don't make the right hires, it can define your entire tenure because you may not get a chance to do a whole lot more of this. But obviously, the O-line hire was great. I think the special teams hire was of what I know about him, great. And hopefully his next two can be just as good, but we'll see.
Yeah. Jamarcus Shepherd, he's got some background with Marcus Freeman, having coached with him, I believe, at Purdue, right?
He came a year after Coach Freeman left, I believe.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. His first year was 2017. And I believe Marcus Freeman was at Cincinnati by then. So there was a turnover. I do believe that they know each other, as a lot of coaches do in this profession. But no, there was not. There was a year of difference between when they get there. But, I mean, he knows about him because he had to prepare for his offense this year.
Sure.
And he knows, you know, he knows what the job they did. I mean, the guy's a heck of a coach. He did a great job at Purdue. He did a great job at Western Kentucky. He had 1 year at Washington State, and he's coached under Jeff Brohm, Mike Leach, and Bobby Petrino. That's a pretty good network of coaches to learn under when it comes to offensive football.
Yeah, that's got a little bit of firepower behind it.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
And give it, you know, free Tommy on Twitter and all that, what we saw, you know, especially in the first half of the Fiesta Bowl, I think that would line up pretty good.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and I did some research yesterday. Purdue has signed 11 four-star recruits since the 2018 class. I think five of them were Jamarcus Shepherd recruits.
Oh, wow.
So when you're bringing in half your team's four-star recruits at a place like Purdue, you're doing a pretty good job recruiting that position.
Yeah. And
call me crazy, but yeah.
Just a little bit. And what they've been able to put, like, not just on the field at Purdue, but also get those guys ready for the next level.
Oh, yeah.
In the NFL, too. I mean, that's just blown up at Purdue, too.
Well, and he, you know, he did the same thing at Western Kentucky. You know, I mean, if you're familiar with the name Tawan Taylor, who I believe plays for the Titans now. No, is he with the Browns now? But he was in the NFL for a little bit. You know, and he did some nice things back with the Titans. But, you know, he's a guy that Coach Freeman coached. Obviously, Rondell Moore was a second-round pick. David Bell's going to be a high pick. And, you know, the production's been outstanding. And, you know, when a place like Purdue is putting the guys in the NFL, you start taking notice because that's not a place that – you know, has a long history of putting out, you know, big-time skill players. It's normally like DNs and offensive linemen and quarterbacks, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you look at what they did in the bowl game, for example. I mean, they went for over 500 yards in the bowl game against Tennessee and got a win and didn't even have their best receiver, David Bell, set out.
Right.
You know, and he's doing it with guys like Jackson Anthrop and Milton Wright. And, you know, they're nice players, but not Kevin Austin's and Lorenzo Styles and Deion Colsey's and the kind of talent that you're going to have to work with at a place like Notre Dame. So that's why I look at a guy like that and say, boy, if he can out-recruit that school and you project that to the next, to place like Notre Dame, when he's going to have that Notre Dame brand behind him, starts getting a little bit fired up. But I think he'd be a great hire, but I don't know if Tommy Rees and Marcus Freeman agree with me on that. So that's what we'll find out here in the next, hopefully, 24 to 48 hours.
All right. Defensive coordinator, how's that search going?
I think that one is kind of that's a good question. That is the one search that I have gotten the least amount of information on. I have tried to get names, and I get names of like, well, I heard maybe this guy, maybe that. Like, I've heard like Mike Tressel, who he coached with at Cincinnati, and the obvious ones like John Heacock, who he played. But as far as like legitimate intel, like, yeah, this is a guy that they really like, I've had a hard time honestly getting that. And when I get told a name and I do further research into it, then you realize like that's more coming from the coach who wants the job side as opposed to who Notre Dame likes, right? Because that's how that's how this business works, right? Like people say, hey, look, you know, my guy really likes the Notre Dame job. And they may tell you he reached out to, you know, Notre Dame reached out to him. And, you know, then you kind of do some digging and you realize it was more of a returning a phone call kind of thing. And so you got, that's why you got to be careful. You don't just throw out a name just to throw out a name. You want to really try to make sure that you're getting that intel from both sources. And, you know, and then you try to figure out what you feel comfortable putting out, and it can be a tricky process. But honestly, I have not gotten good intel on a defensive coordinator position, which is why I have put so little out about it, because I don't want to just start throwing names up against a wall and be like, well, I gave 32 names and they hired one of them, so I got it right. I had good intel.
What, you don't play that game?
No, I'm trying not to. No.
You don't play that, throw them all in the broadcast spreader and just see?
No. And that's one thing I do like about the Notre Dame beat. When you look at guys like Tim Priester and Eric Hansen and guys like that, they don't just start, like, throwing names around. Like, you know, loose emojis this way. They don't just, like, throw every random name that they're told. I think that's been a good thing about the beat is, you know, you got a lot of people that try to do it the right way. And we're going to be wrong sometimes. We're going to get intel that it turns out not to be that way. But, you know, that's one of those things I've always liked and respected about this beat is we all try, I think, in this one area, we try to get it right. And we try to make sure that we're doing right by the people involved in the process, but also make sure that we're giving our fans good intel. It doesn't always work out because decisions are made. And, you know, I remember saying 2 weeks ago, I think this is who they're going to hire as special teams coach. And that's what every bit of intel I got. And then they end up hiring somebody else, right? That's
right.
That's the nature of it. But you try to let people know this is what we're hearing and you do it the right way. And that's one thing that I've always thought this beat does a pretty good job of.
With not hearing much information as far as a defensive coordinator, is that by design or is that
I think most likely it tells us that he doesn't necessarily have a guy that he's wants right now that he's open to. And I think, you know, you look at this week, the NFL has a big shakeup this week. You know, there's a lot of teams, a lot of coaches in the NFL that that are now out of jobs or looking for jobs or taking jobs. And then the snowball that happens because of that, it's really trying to make sure that, hey, we get the right person in place here. And, you know, I've always felt, yeah, I'd like to know who the coaches are going to be. But I'd rather you take a little bit of time with this hire and get it right than to make the expedient hire is the big thing for me. And I know that, you know, that means you may miss a guy in here and there, and you got to make sure that you're, you know, sometimes you can be too slow with it and then you miss on guys that you maybe should have gone after. You know, you hope that doesn't happen to, like, receiver, for example. But the key at the end of the day is making sure that you get the right hire, and it's someone you're comfortable with and someone that's going to buy into the way you're trying to run this program. And if that means it happens in February, it happens in February. If it means it happens tomorrow, it happens tomorrow. I think just when it's your first staff, the key is getting it as right as you possibly can that first time and not rushing into it for the need, feeling the need to get it done. And that's where I think the early signing period has helped, because now you don't have to worry about getting somebody in line before that first, you know, week of February when you've got the signing day coming up. You know, like, well, we got to rush and get a guy hired because we got signing day and all this. That's all done. Now it's about making the right hire for your football team in 2022.
Okay. Man, as you were saying that, too, and bringing up NFL coaches that are out of jobs now, I don't know why, but Brian Flores just immediately popped in my head.
I don't think Brian Flores is going to go from head coach of the Dolphins to D coordinator, but that'd be one heck of a hire for Marcus Freeman now, wouldn't it, right?
I mean,
now be careful, because now that I said it in the show, someone's going to run back to Twitter and said Driscoll said that Brian Flores is going to be the next D coordinator.
Put it all on me. Blame me. I brought the name up. It's my fault.
I mean, if you're Marcus Freeman, you kind of almost have to make that call, right?
Sure.
Like, what the heck, right? I know what he's going to say, but, you know, what the heck? I'll give it a shot.
I mean, Bill O'Brien went from being the Texans head coach down to Alabama.
Yeah, that's because he didn't have a lot of other options. I got a feeling that Brian Flores is going to be getting a lot more phone calls about the open job than Bill O'Brien is, because there's something to be said for being likable.
Yeah, there's that too.
Brian Flores is.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien is not in so many ways. And as we saw in his post-game tirade with fans. Did you see that, by the way, Jim?
I did not, no.
Yeah, I have to send that to you. He got into a MFing contest with a fan who said he sucked. You know?
Oh, that. And, oh, that. Yeah, I thought it was something new.
No.
Yeah, I have seen, and that I was kind of like, he's kind of got a point, but still, come on.
Dude, you're a freaking coach at Alabama, dude. Walk away, you know. But that's just Bill O'Brien. Anyone that's been around him, I've had a chance to be at camps with him because I used to cover the state of Maryland when he was coaching at the University of Maryland, and we'd work their camps, and you're just like, God, I don't like this guy. I've tried. I really did, but I just don't.
Right.
So whereas Brian Flores, everything I've ever heard about him from people who know him say, you know, just a real good dude. And, you know, so, yeah, I have a feeling he's going to have his phone ringing off a little bit stronger than – at least he should anyway than Bill O'Brien.
I think there's a team about – you know, 90 miles west of here on the pro side of things, probably going to be ringing his phone a little bit more.
Wouldn't be a
little bit
idea.
Harder.
Wouldn't I don't follow the NFL a ton, but I've heard a lot of good things about him on the coaching side of it. That, you know, that he's a really smart guy, and all. And I think anytime you do something and you fail, and when you get fired, you failed, right? I mean, that ultimately, whether you think you should or shouldn't have gotten fired, you know, it's a failure because you didn't do a good enough job to make them want to keep you. I think you always learn from those things. And I mean, look, Bill Belichick got fired by the Browns, right? I mean, great coaches, a lot of great coaches have, you know, got fired at such and such place on their resume, and you learn from it and move on. And, you know, he can't be worse than the guy that they just got rid of. I mean, I can't be right.
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. So much more at IrishBreakdown.com. A lot of still good news on commits as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had the All-Star game this past weekend, and you know, the Notre Dame players played well, and of course the 2023 class is growing. They added a big time commitment at the beginning of January, and they're going to have some visits starting to come up for the 2023 class. And right now, Notre Dame has the nation's number one class in the 2023 haul, and they got to work hard to make sure that they can keep that as close to number one as possible. But certainly off to a great start, and that's one of those areas where you're like, you kind of want them to get the staff figured out so you can kind of sick the entire staff on the recruiting trail, but certainly off to a great start for the 2023 class.
All right. And like I said, you can read all about it, irishbreakdown.com, all run by the lovely and talented Brian Driscoll. I appreciate the time, sir.
You are most welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll have Brian's cohort, Vince, on for Rapid Fire. That should be fun. To say the least. That's all coming up. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Sports Center update just around the corner. We'll have a Rapid Fire with Vince D'Addario after 6 o'clock. And, of course, 6:30 tonight, Notre Dame Radio Network takes over with the basketball game against Clemson, with a tip-off at 7 o'clock. Don't look now, but the owners and players in Major League Baseball are actually going to talk. They're going to hold a bargaining session tomorrow, the first since the league locked out the players on December 2nd. MLB reached out to the union to set up the meeting, during which the league plans to make a proposal that touches on some core economic and competitive issues. While the parties met during December to discuss ancillary issues, the path to any eventual deal runs through the sport's economics, and the meeting could be a little bit of a harbinger for the length of this work stoppage and this lockout, the game's first in more than a quarter of a century. Both of these sides are so far away on everything, I'm not exactly holding my breath. not at all. Like, from the owner side to the player side and vice versa, like you need, like, what was that telescope that they just launched into space? The James Webb telescope? You need that to see across to the other side at this point between the owners and the players in Major League Baseball, and it's absolutely stupid, but they'll at least try getting a little bit closer. Try in, the air quotes here. Like I said, not exactly holding my breath for anything too substantial to come out of this. I'll have a couple of questions for that with Vince coming up in rapid fire. That's coming up after a Sports Center update here on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Who wants to have some fun?
Rapid fire starts now on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. And now your host, Sean Stiers.
Jim Irizarry in for Sean Stiers, Budweiser's weekday sports beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. About 21 minutes left in the show today, but doesn't mean we can't do a little rapid fire. And for that, the one, the only Vince D'Addario joining me. Hi, Vince.
Hello there, Jimbo. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Man, ready to go. Ready, fired up. I mean, it's a great day. It's a great day. It's a great Wednesday.
All right. Even though it looked like crap pretty much all day, you're in a really chipper mood.
I wouldn't know that because I am in a cinder block box all day long.
That's
so
true.
No windows. And so my day is what I make it, Jim. So it was a great day.
I mean, I've been in my basement most of the day.
So there you go. So you know.
It's not like I have a whole ton of light coming in there.
Yeah, exactly. So you get it.
And then I come in to a cement box with no windows.
Right.
So
affectionately known as the bunker.
Right.
So, I mean, there's not a lot of windows in a bunker. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. I'm there. Okay. I got you. rapid fire right now.
Okay.
So let's get to your sentiments first. John Lester retiring after 16 seasons, of course, helping the Cubs win, that World Series in 2016, breaking the drought. Also won two more with the Red Sox in 2007 and 2013. Your favorite John Lester moment?
Honestly, my favorite John Lester moment was when he signed with the Cubs and then bought everybody beer at his press conference. Like, or was that Madden? It was either him or Madden.
One of the two, yeah.
So I guess I might be confusing my stories. But look, the bottom line is John Lester was arguably the best free agent signing in Chicago Cubs history.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was the bedrock. He's the bedrock of that pitching staff, obviously, in 2016. Yes, Jake Arrieta was amazing. There's no question about it. But John Lester was the anchor. He was the veteran. He was the leader of that group. And, he'll be endeared to Cubs fans forever. I mean, God knows when the next time the Cubs are going to win a World Series. So this might be the one and only in our lifetime. So anything that has to do with the 2016 team, and John Lester is a gigantor part of that, he's going to be, he's statue worthy, right? I mean, it's a huge deal, and it was huge of the Cubs to go out and get him. I mean, he was not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. He was the top pitcher on the market. They went and got him, and it paid dividends.
Yeah, you mentioned he did not come cheap. They still got every penny of that investment,
though,
that they wanted.
Absolutely.
Every single one of them. So.
Yes, no question about it. I have enough merchandise from the World Series year to pay for his salary, so we're good there.
How much of a wall does that take up in your basement?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't have as much as other people, but I definitely had to commemorate the moment. I'm actually staring right now at a baseball that has the 2016 World Series on it, and it's like a four-pack, I guess. So you've got the three World Series and then a one for the Wrigley Field, and it's, it's under plastic. It's very special. Very important.
Yeah, you don't let the kids play catch with that, with the dog.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Five All-Star appearances, a 2.51 postseason ERA.
I mean, that's where he made his money right there, was the postseason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was untouchable. It was fantastic to watch. I don't like that he finished things out with the Cardinals. I'll say that. That hurts me a little.
He got traded to Washington, though, didn't he?
Was it Cardinals then Washington, or was it Washington then the Cardinals?
Yeah, he did sign with the Cardinals. I do know that. I think. No, No, he got traded to St. Louis.
He got traded to St. Louis.
And well, so that's not really his control, though.
I know, but you know. Still.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was his fault. I'm just saying it's where the Redbirds just that
taint.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, that's not how I'm going to remember him.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to remember him for, you know, being with the Red Sox and winning two World Series titles with them. You know, it's winning the one for the Cubs. Mm. That's what he's going to be remembered for in my eyes, and my eyes are the only ones that matter. So there you go.
There you go.
Either way, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Oh, no yeah, question. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If he's not in on, like, the first ballot, there's something
right.
wrong.
I have to agree with you on that.
So here's question number two for Rapid Fire. Okay. Major League Baseball and the Players Association, they plan to hold a bargaining session tomorrow, the first since the league locked the players out on December 2nd, that infamous 7-minute meeting.
Ridiculous.
Over under, how long do you see the this meeting going tomorrow? I have the line set at 7.5 minutes.
It better be more than that, because it took them over a month to get back at the table.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Your whole job is to get back to the table.
Yeah.
And it took you a month? It better last more than so. I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm taking the over, Jim, because these are grown adults. And I wanted to say something else, but we're on the radio. These are grown adults who can't have a conversation for more than a couple of minutes? Come on, man. Even Brian Kelly spoke for longer than that.
I think I know what you wanted to say there, and I kind of echo that sentiment quite honestly. But
it's embarrassing is what it is.
It's really
embarrassing
is.
To be a baseball fan when the adults in the room can't be the adults in the room.
Exactly. I go back to your point about, you know, them being grown bleeping adults.
Yeah, right.
But it's the same adults that gave us a 7-minute meeting on the eve of the lockout.
That's fair.
I'm not exactly holding my breath here.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
I mean, it's stupid to think that they're going to work everything out in one day anyway. That
right.
I mean, this is going to be... You know, this needs to, like, kick off, like, a solid month and a half of negotiation in order for us to get to, spring training starts in about a month, actually.
Well, pitchers and catchers usually report right around Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about a month away.
Yeah.
Like, come on, people.
Like,
get your stuff together.
Like, if we get a solid month of negotiation, then I'll start feeling a little bit better.
Absolutely. But if they don't, if they leave the table and then don't even talk for another month?
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean,
people.
That, you know.
We're going to have spring training in July.
Right. Nobody wants that.
Nobody.
I mean,
wants
we saw what happened with it in 2020. And granted, right. I mean, we weren't going to get a full season that year anyway.
Well, they botched that one up.
60
from the word
games
go.
Was an atrocity.
Yeah, they botched that one up from the word go.
Yeah.
That was horrible. That was baseball had such an opportunity in 2020. To be the only thing going.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing. And they botched the you-know-what out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was horrible. Horrible missed opportunity by Major League Baseball.
I mean, they botched the whole hot stove league, quite honestly, for this season.
Yes,
people were
absolutely.
Talking about baseball in December.
Yeah, which doesn't happen usually.
That hasn't happened in at least the last 5 years. Like, you start seeing all the big free agent deals start getting done, like, as spring training is starting.
Right.
You had guys signing these absolutely ridiculous deals, quite honestly.
Yep.
And they were getting signed in December. Now, granted, part of that is because they knew a lockout was coming. But at the same time, people were still talking about, you know, this player going here and this player going there and what it means, you know, for their chances in making the division, making the wild card, making playoffs, all that. And they fumbled it there too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just amazing. It's amazing to me how badly Major League Baseball just handles everything.
Yeah. Just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-blowing. So that's why I'm going under. Because I'm just a pessimist. I'm going under 7.5 minutes.
I'm going to be the optimist. I'm going to hope that the adults are going to be adults and they're going to get this thing figured out and at least be at the table, you know, longer than a Seinfeld episode. Like, come on, people. Let's go.
Yeah. If like I said, if this kicks off a month of solid negotiation to where they actually come, you know, to where they actually want to be in the same room, they're doing this meeting over Zoom, by the way, just because of COVID and all that stuff.
Of course they are.
But if they can at least get to the point where they're wanting to be in the same room together, that would be something to take away from it.
Yeah.
So you don't have a whole heck of a lot of time, but...
I do not, but that's okay. Let's roll.
Chicago Bears, of course, getting rid of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. I heard hallelujahs coming up from Bears fans all over, from many miles around, quite honestly. I heard they were just echoing as I was standing in my backyard the other day. who do you want to see as the next coach?
You know, I got to be honest with you. Some of the options that I've seen on social media and things of that nature, none of them get me very excited. I hate to say this as a Notre Dame person, but, I mean, Ryan Day is by far, leaps and bounds for me, the leader of the pack. I don't even know if they're even going to interview him, let alone, right, you know, offer him the job or if he's even interested in it.
Right.
I don't know. Oh, man. You know, you'd love to get somebody in there who, they did this last time, granted, with Nagy, but I'd like to get an offensive-minded guy in there, maybe like a Byron Leftwich. I'd be okay with that. But you got to bring in a really good defensive coordinator. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Chicago is defense.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're not going to win or win over the fans if the defense is terrible.
Yeah.
Okay? So I want the offense to get better, but the defense still has to be good. So you got to bring in a good DC. But, yeah, you know what? I'll throw my hat in the ring for Byron Leftwich. Why not?
Okay. Brian Flores, the former Dolphins coach, doesn't do anything for you?
Oh, no. He definitely does something for me. I think he got a raw deal in Miami. And I think he could do a good job in Chicago. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. How about GM? Do you trust Bill Polian to make the right decision there? 80-year-old Bill Polian?
you know... the guy coming from Indianapolis is the guy that I would want. The guy that's the assistant GM right now.
Okay.
And his name completely escapes me right now, and I apologize. That's terrible radio. But
it escapes me too, so you're not.
He was with the Seahawks for a long time, okay, and then he's been with the Colts for since 2017, and he went from like player personnel to assistant GM like overnight. Like, he's the right-hand man down there of the GM, and he seems to be a hot commodity throughout the NFL. And he's turned down interviews and he's done a lot of things of that nature. And apparently he's going to be interviewing with the Bears. So,
okay.
Hey man, don't mess this up.
Right.
Get somebody who's good. Listen to other people who think this guy is good and, you know, give him a shot. Yeah. Give him a shot. Give him a shot. He's, like I said, he's turned down jobs and interviews in the past. So, somebody knows something, so the Bears don't overthink this thing, okay? Get somebody good in there.
All right. Go get your daughter to practice.
All right, I'll do my best. Thanks, right, buddy.
Yep, not a problem. Thank you. Vince D'Addario right there for rapid fire, and off he goes. We'll wrap things up coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dan Patrick's above the noise right now on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Budweiser's weekday sports beat brought to you by Budweiser, the king of beers, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Sports fans, this is Bud's for you. The Food Bank of Northern Indiana. If hunger is a story we can end, find out how at feedindiana.org. The Mishawaka Education Foundation, granting a better way, the Mishawaka way. Also by Tim Growl State Farm Insurance. Save money on home and auto insurance with Tim, serving both Indiana and Michigan. Call 232-9981. Wings Etc. Grill and Pub with 14 area Michiana locations. Stop in today or order online at togo.wingsetc.com. Midland Engineering Company, beginning their second century of quality roofing experience. And by Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, serving our community while serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. Notre Dame men's basketball, that is coming up in about 2.5 minutes from now. Of course, they are hosting Clemson tonight over at Purcell Pavilion. Tip-off at 7 o'clock pregame coming up, like I said, in about 2.5 minutes. Some quick NBA picks if you're looking for to make some money as far as that betting goes. Boston at Indiana. Going with the over here. Celtics have ruled out their best perimeter defender in Marcus Smart. Definitely playing a role in that, but you know the Celtics are about 4 points worse defensively in road games and have allowed at least 108 in each of their past 7 away. I know they're playing the Pacers. I know it. I know. But still, I like over the 210.5 line. Dallas is at the Knicks tonight. Mavericks might be starting to put everything together. They've won 6 straight, including knocking off the Warriors, Bulls, and Nuggets. However, they're without Kristaps Porzingis, out with COVID-19. Even without him, I think Dallas continues their hot streak, so I like Dallas and the spread. Miami, I like them in the spread against Atlanta. And then the big game tonight between the Bulls and the Nets. By the way, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, starting in Chicago? What? Thanks, ESPN, for that. Anyway, I like the under there on the point total of 236. Top two teams in the Eastern Conference should be a tough defensive battle. Kyrie Irving not exactly efficient offensively in his 2 games since returning, and this was against bad defenses too in Indiana and Portland. This Bulls defense, that's a tough matchup for him, quite honestly, especially with Lonzo Ball. So I like the under 236 between Brooklyn and the Bulls. That will do things for me. I will be back tomorrow for Sean Stiers. This has been Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio, 960 AM WSBT.